We're so glad that you're here today. We are in the middle of a series, if this is your first time with us, on the family. That may have come across a little bit in the drama and in the where it said family portrait. How many people in here growing up or recently have ever had a family portrait taken? Just raise your hand high. Ever had a family portrait taken? How many? Keep it up. Don't put it. How many of you that was not necessarily an enjoyable experience? No hands went down. Okay, there you go. This series is called Family Portrait, Life Behind the Freeze Frame. And the reason we're calling it that is the family portrait that we put on our table that everybody comes to our house and looks at, and we want people to see the beautiful family. We're proud of our children. We're proud of our family. That's not the way our lives always look. Sometimes our lives look very different. And so what we're looking at is what family really looks like and how to have a healthy family. Last week, we looked at the first characteristic, which is service. And what does it mean to be a servant as a parent, as a child, in family relationships? The first week, what we did, though, was we defined the family. What is family? And we looked at the scripture, and Jesus said that family, my mother and my brothers and sisters, are those who do the will of my Father. So it could or could not be the people you're related to biologically. It could or could not be the people that you work with. It could or could not be the church that you go to. That doesn't necessarily define family for you. But what Jesus said is, my family are those people who do the will of my Father. Now, one of the things that we want in our home is to have a sense of family. If there's going to be a real sense of family, it's going to be around the principles of who God is. That's going to what Jesus said. That's what creates real family. Here in this body and with this church, we don't necessarily, because we sign up to be a member of the same church, or even because we're all Christians, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have a sense or feel like a family. So Jesus said that those who do the will of my Father, that's my family. So what is the will of the Father? Well, last week we looked at being a servant, and today we're going to look at communication. You saw that in the drama that was presented here. Different children, different ages, a dad that was disconnected, a mom that was trying to keep it all together, and everybody wanting to do their own thing. How do you communicate best within that family? So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at communication. I don't do this a lot of times, but I'm going to do it today. In your worship guide, take that out, and in there's a place for you to take notes. I would really encourage you to take notes today. The things you write down, you're going to have even a better possibility of remembering it later on. There's a lot of wise people who've said a lot of really good things that would be good for you to write down today. I'm going to give you a lot of information today about communication. But first of all, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up here on the screen. But Ephesians 4, 29, Paul says this: "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." We're talking about communication. Do you hear what Paul's saying here? Only helpful communication for building other people up. Verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." What's Paul talking about? A lot of what he's talking about is the way that we relate to each other, the communication that we have with each other. He says, be kind, be compassionate, forgiving each other, put away anger and malice. And so Paul's talking about, he's writing to this church in Ephesus, and he knows that there's a possibility and there has been discord in their body. And he's saying, this is how to have a healthy church. This is how to have a healthy family. Speak to each other with love and kindness. So as we look at communication today, I want to give you 10 things, 10 mistakes that we make in communication. And then I'm going to give you 10 things that help make for healthy communication. All right, 20 things. That's a lot to cover in about 30 minutes, all right? 10 things that are mistakes in communication, all right? Follow me. Number one is this. Probably the biggest misnomer when it comes to communication is wanting to be understood before we're willing to understand someone else. We come into conversation a lot of times with our kids, at work, with our employees or with our boss or with our spouse. And our goal, our number one goal, as we enter into communication, if it's something that just happened like that and we're dealing with our kids about something, or if it's something that we've thought through, or maybe it's a conflict that's arisen in our home, and the number one thing, our number one goal so often is, I want everybody to understand what I'm saying. And my desire is, and my goal is, my number one goal is to convince you of what I'm saying that you really need to hear, and this will all make our lives better if everyone will just get on the page that I'm on. And so when we set out with that, it's the number one stake probably in communication is, instead of setting out to, everybody needs to get on my page, instead of, let me listen to what really is going on here and what's going on in your life. We want to convince, we want other people to understand. And while you're talking, when other people are talking, you're thinking about what you want to say next. I mean, we're all guilty of that, but you can almost, and it frustrates you sometimes when you see it in other people, and it frustrates you about yourself sometimes, but someone else is talking, and we're not even listening. We're just ready for, we're just thinking about what it is that we want to say next, and so we don't even hear what was being said because we're thinking about the next thing that we want to say to make our point so that everybody will agree with what I'm about to say. Probably one of the biggest mistakes that we make in communication is trying to get somebody else to understand what we're about. And so Paul says, be kind. What's a part of kindness? Part of kindness is listening to what the other person has to say. Second thing is, let me share with you Proverbs 18:2. Listen to this. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. It's not that I really want to understand what you have to say. I just want to tell you what I have to say. Proverbs 18:2. Second thing is this, that the goal in conflict is to win. We enter into conflict, we enter into relationships with our spouse or at work or with our kids, and we see it as a battle. And you have your opinion, and I have my opinion. You have your position, and I have my position. And my goal and my desire and what I'm setting out to do is at the end of this discussion, that's what we've grown into. We call them discussions now in our home. But at the end of this discussion, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. And I can tell you who's going to win, okay, because I'm the daddy and I'm the husband and I'm the boss or whatever it is. But somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. And so we enter into conversations and into conflict a lot of times with a battle mentality. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. What we fail to realize, though, a lot of times is when that's our mentality and I'm always the one that wins, what does that mean? That the people that I'm dealing with, the people that I'm talking to, they're always the one that loses. And so maybe without even realizing it, they're developing a mentality that you're a tyrant, that you always have to be right. You're developing a mentality that they're a loser and they're going to lose every time. And so what happens after a while is when we insist on winning over and over and over, those relationships begin to be destroyed. They begin to be destroyed. We're not making a healthier relationship or a healthier family at all. We're just insisting on the fact that we're right. Third thing is this, it's the extremes in communication. Third mistake is the extreme of either clamming up or throwing up in communication. And what does that mean? Clam up are the people who, they're conflict avoiders. Throwing up are the people who are conflict lovers. And you know the extremes. And we can look at families that are like that, and we can look at individuals that are like that. Probably you, if you're married today, probably you and your spouse have had this conversation. Well, growing up in our home, this is how we dealt with communication and conversation. And then, well, growing up in our home, this is how conversation and communication went. And maybe in growing up in your home, it was just a free-for-all. I mean, everybody just kind of got it out there on the table, and everybody talked about everything. Maybe to the extent that everybody was in each other's business. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody's talking about everything. And maybe you started dating this person or you married this person, and at your home, nobody talked about anything that was wrong, really. It was kind of the other extreme. And so you enter into this relationship, and all of a sudden it's like, what in the world is going on here? you know? And then you get married and you start having conversations and somebody wants to deal with conflict and they want to deal with conflict. And the other person doesn't want to deal with conflict. And so what do you have? Conflict, okay? You have conflict because you and I, we're all a product of the family that we grew up in. Whatever the conflict style was like in your family, that's what you're going to carry into other relationships, not just your marriage, but also with your children. It's carried into your friendships. It's carried into your work environment. And so whether you're a person who likes and enjoys dialogue, what we want to be as we grow, and listen, what we're talking about today are ways that we can grow in being a better communicator with the people in our lives that we love. What the goal in conflict is that we want to not be afraid. We don't want to enjoy conflict. I don't want to enjoy conflict, but I don't want to be afraid of conflict. And so we enter into relationships with other people where we deal responsibly with things that come up rather than avoiding it. We can be conflict avoiders or conflict lovers. What's the fourth mistake we make in conflict? Fourth mistake is this. Are the times in our lives, or if you're like this, when we speak with no filter. Have you ever wished, you know, when you said something, I wish that there had just been a filter right there that had caught that before it ever went out. Have you ever thought that? Or maybe you wanted to put the filter on someone else, you know? Have you ever thought about thinking before you speak? You know, you just want to say that sometimes, and that would be something you shouldn't say, you know? But it's just like there's no filter. And so sometimes we speak without a filter, and sometimes that comes across as harsh or crass. And the Scripture has a lot to say about that. The fruits of the Spirit, we're going to look at this a little bit later on. Paul says the fruits of a Spirit-filled life are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. All of those words have a lot to do with communication. All of those words have a lot to do with the way that we speak to other people. Goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, self-control. That's the filter that we use in conversation with other people. Proverbs 15:1 says this, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." When someone speaks to you with no filter, it causes you to be defensive. It may cause you to be angry when you do the same thing to other people. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. One of the fifth mistake that we make. Fifth is this, becoming historical. Six is becoming hysterical. We'll get to six in a minute. The fifth mistake we make in communication is we become historical. What do you think that means? I bet you know right now what that means. Becoming historical. We start bringing up stuff that happened last year. And we bring up stuff that happened when we got married 20 years ago. You know, maybe you're having a discussion about finances. And one person thinks the other person is irresponsible in finances. And so all you're talking about really probably is something that was spent that week or maybe the balancing of the checkbook or whatever it is. But all of a sudden you enter into a conversation about the fact that we never should have bought this house. I told you we shouldn't have bought this house. And that car that we've got out there, we're making too big of a car payment. And so we start talking about things that we bought 5 and 10 years ago. When we start dredging, we had an argument about it 5 and 10 years ago. We probably had another one about it 3 years ago and maybe had one about it 6 months ago. But we just keep bringing this stuff up and we just keep bringing it to the surface. And what happens is these issues that are not being resolved keep resurfacing. And so we become historical. And what that communicates to the other person is, I never really did forgive you. I never really did understand you. And so we use that kind of as a weapon to kind of hit each other over the head. Remember when this happened? Remember when that happened? Or sometimes we become, sixth thing, we become hysterical in conversation. A lot of times in conversation with our kids, with our spouse, the emotions come in and there's anger just kind of, you know, somebody, one of the kids does something or somebody says something and it's boom, all of a sudden you're angry, you know. Or you're having this conversation with someone. And maybe it's defensiveness, you know. Somebody said something, somebody did something, and all of a sudden, boom, you got defensive. And so you started talking out of your defensiveness. or I got angry and I started talking out of my anger. And have you ever been in those conversations with someone and it just kind of got to the point that the anger was there, and you knew if you said the next thing, it was going to go to a whole new level of anger. You know what I'm saying? It's like her head's going to just spin around with the next thing you say. And you just say it anyway. You know what I'm saying? You just lose it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I feel like I'm about to explode, and I am. And I'm going to say the thing that's going to hurt you the most. And so we do that. I was just in the parking lot the other day, and so, you know, we've talked with our kids over and over and over. If we've had this conversation, I'm going to talk about exaggerating in a minute, so I don't want to exaggerate the number. Let's say we've talked about it at least 250 times. I started to say a million, okay? Let's say we've talked about it 250 times, at least. That's no exaggeration, about being careful in the parking lot, okay? About being careful when you're near a major road and just kind of looking both ways, if staying with mom and dad, because your fear as a parent there's going to be an accident. Somebody's going to be hurt, and so you're just like this mama and daddy chicken or hen, or I'm not sure, but anyway, you're just like watching all your kids all the time when you're out in the parking lot. So just like a week ago, one of our kids he's old enough and he knows better, and he is just, I mean, we talk about every time, all the time, and he just skips right out into it. And I'm saying, hold up, wait on us, watch both ways, and there's cars coming, and be careful. And then I have something else to do, and then I turn around, and he's just doing this. You know, I mean, literally, I'm not exaggerating there either. That's what he was doing, you know. And so, you know, my concern turned into anger. You know, you would think that you're like, oh, honey, you know, it's like that. And literally the words that came to my mind, these were the words that came to my mind. If you get hit by a car, I'm going to wear you out. That's what came to my mind, you know. And it was just, that makes no sense. And before I said it, I thought, that's going to make no sense. And so I just said, I'm going to wear you out if you do that anymore. And so, but this anger just comes in and it would kind of become hysterical, you know. We become defensive and it just kind of blows up rather than making sure that he's safe and saying maybe to him after I've had a chance to breathe a little bit, when you do that, that really scares me. That really scares your dad because I'm afraid that you're going to get hit and I love you and I don't want to lose you because that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm feeling. We'll talk about anger a little bit more in just a minute. Seventh thing is this. Words that overstate the point. Exaggeration. Always. Never. Every time. Ever say that? You know, we use those words. And so sometimes we get into a conversation. Maybe one of us is a person who likes to be on time. And maybe the other person struggles with being on time. And so one of us likes to be everywhere 5 minutes early. The other person, as long as you get to the movie after the credits roll, you know, some of us like to be there, you know, get the popcorn, get everything, get settled, watch the previews. And the other person is more like, as long as we get to the first 5 minutes. I mean, first 5 minutes don't mean anything anyway. It's kind of character development. But that drives you crazy. And so you have these conversations. And then we say, you know what? You're never on time, ever. And the reality is that person's on time 20% of the time. You know? But we say never. Meaning, and what we're communicating is there's no hope for you. Because you're never on time. So we begin to use phrases like never and always and every time, and which really are overstating the point, and it escalates the conflict. It really doesn't represent, it's not really a responsible dialogue with someone else. It just kind of escalates. Or we say, you're just like, I mean, here's the trump card. Here's the silver bullet, all right? The conversation's escalated. Nothing's really going right. The tide has turned against you, and you can see the scoreboard is bigger in their favor than it is in yours. And you say, you're just like your mother. I mean, you know what? That's when you pull that one out, and then they go, and then you just go, I won with that one. You know, you just kind of do a little happy dance, you know. And what happens is, really, with those kind of things, now I say that with humor, but we're just destroying the very foundation of the relationship we have with the other person. every time, never, you're just like this. And so those words, even those semantics, those words destroy the relationship. Eight would be that unhealthy, a mistake that we make in communication is taking it with us. Taking the conflict with us and never really resolving it. And what happens is when we never really fully resolve that, we speak a harsh word to someone. We know that we hurt someone, but maybe they didn't say anything, but we never deal with it. And so it becomes a sickness, and it just kind of stays there. And then it just builds unresolved conflict. Nine is this, walking out. One of the worst things that we can do in communication is just to walk out of the conversation. Because what it communicates is this. It's not just that I gave up on this communication. It's not just that I was about to get angry. It's not just about the fact that we need to take a break. When we just walk out, it communicates, I've given up on you. That's what it communicates. And so it's okay. It's entirely okay for the both people to agree that, hey, let's take a break. Let's talk about this maybe later tonight. Let's talk about this tomorrow. And we cool it for a while. But to walk out says, I give up. And it communicates to the other person that they have given up. Don't walk out. Tenth thing is telling people something they don't know. This is more of an attitude. It's more of that, I'm going to tell you something you don't know. It's I'm the one that's informed, and I'm going to let everybody know. It's kind of that attitude of let me just set the record straight for everybody. And I'm going to add a number 11. I said top 10 things. I lied. This is number 11. 11 would be this, probably maybe one of the most important, is that we just stop communicating. And there's been so many years under the bridge and so many conflicts under the bridge that we just got tired of trying to deal with it. And so what we did is that I, or me and the kids, or me as a person, I'm just going to learn to do life whether you're here or whether you're not, whether we're getting along or whether we're not. I'm going to learn to live without you. And that's the beginning of the end. It's when we become comfortable with learning to live without the other person, without ever dealing with anything. We stop communicating. Something that's probably just as close to that and just as dangerous is that we learn to appease the other person. We learn to manage the other person. We don't deal with conflict because we just want to keep everything okay. We don't deal with anything because we're just going to try to manage it. We're just going to try to appease it. And so we know the other person well enough to know that we're just not going to go there. And so what happens is it's unresolved conflict. And one of these days, that volcano is going to blow. That's what happens. And it happens, listen, y'all, it's really easy for us to talk about this as husband and wife, but it happens with our kids. Because I said so, because I said so, because I said so, because I said so. God is a God who loves us, who communicates with us, who commands us to do certain things. But I don't see because I said so anywhere. He always explains why. In love. Always explains why. And the same is true with our kids. You know? It would be so easy just because I said so. And you know what happens in a child's life? That just builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up. And one day they leave. And they don't have to do it because you said so anymore. And there's nothing inside of them, nothing internal that makes them want to do the right thing because no one ever said why. No one ever explained why. It was just because I said so. So, 10 things that lead to unhealthy communication. 10 things for healthy communication. Number one is this, probably at the top of the list, Ephesians 5:28 and 29. Listen to this. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. What's he talking about? He's talking about what we talked about last week, serving each other, loving each other enough to put the other. Last week we talked about, the title of the sermon was, You Before Me. you before me. And so in conversation, my desire is I'm coming to you to do the second thing in healthy communication, which is this. Listen. This is the biggest misunderstanding of what communication is. The biggest misunderstanding of communication is that it's about talking. It's the biggest misunderstanding. There's more about communication that has to do with listening than it has to do with talking. That when I enter into a conversation, when I enter into a conflict, when I enter into something with my children, or when I'm with my friends, or when I'm at work and I enter into this conversation, I want to understand what it is that you're saying. I truly come into this that I want to. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say next. I'm not. If I feel like I'm becoming defensive, I'm not. I'm going to talk myself out of that. I want to hear what you're saying. A tip to healthy communication. The third is this: ask good questions. Here's good questions. What do you think about? What do you feel about this? Do you know how valuable that is to your children when you say to them, what do you think about this situation? All of a sudden, you've given them ownership. You've communicated to them that you trust them. Listen, that's not just true with children. That's true with all of our friendships. When we say to somebody else, hey, tell me what you think about this. That's a huge part in communication. Fourth is this. We begin to communicate out of the way that we feel. And there's a lot of guys in here, your skin just crawled. You know, you're just like, ugh, wow. Feel. Why don't you just pull up the couch and become a psychologist and talk to us about how we feel? There's wisdom in that. There's wisdom in this. That some of us come from a background where we win or lose. You know what that's like. It was like that in your home, and dad always won. Or mom always won. Or your older sibling always won. It was the win-lose mentality all the time. So we carry that into our relationships as husband and wife sometimes, and it's always win, it's always lose, it's always win, it's always lose. And it's always unhealthy. And so one of the things that helps, it's a word, but it communicates a lot, is not, you did this to me, you did this, you said this, you're causing this problem, but when this happens, it makes me feel this way. You know why? Because no one can tell you didn't feel that way. Now, you can argue all day long about the events and how they transpired. And no, this is what you said. No, this is what you said. You said this, and the way you said this, and how you said this. And no, you said it here. No, I said that later. It's when this situation happened, it made me feel this way. You know, when we were at that party and you walked away from me, you probably didn't even realize it. But there's part of that that makes I'm just really insecure, and I would just really appreciate if you just kind of stay with me, because when you walked away, the way that I felt was I just felt alone. I felt kind of abandoned. I felt like maybe you didn't want to be with me, and that's just the way I felt. Rather than every time we're at a party, you walk away from me. Do you know how stupid that makes me feel? It's not just saying you did this and you made me feel this way. It's saying, I'm part of this, and when this situation happens, it makes me feel this way. And so, as someone who's in the conversation, you don't say, you don't feel that way. No. Listen. Maybe there's things about my life, and maybe there's things about we deal with this situation that I will feel differently, but your feelings and the way you feel and talking with someone about the way you feel is always valid. It's always valid. It's a valid place. It doesn't mean that you're always right or you're always going to win. It just means it's valid. So let's talk about it. Talk about the way you feel. Fifth thing is this: sleep on it. Well, we've heard the scripture that says, "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." And I used to take that literally. And we would have these conversations till like 3 a.m. You know, I mean, I don't know about you. Our first year of marriage was hard. It was hard. We have friends. We know people who say we've never fought as a couple, and I think, You know that you fought a lot when you go, I think that's so unhealthy. I mean, it's not like, that's awesome. You go, I think there's something wrong there. That comes from people who've I said fought, didn't I? I meant discuss. The people who discuss a lot. Our first year of marriage was really hard. But that talking to the wee hours of the morning after 11 o'clock when you're not thinking clearly, hey, let's just both agree, we are going to talk about this again, but let's just talk about it when we've had some time to pray and time to think. That leads into the sixth thing, healthy communication. Some of us are processors. We think about things and we come to a decision, we come to a conclusion, and then we talk about it. You know, you never know what somebody else is thinking, and then they come to you and they say, I've decided we're selling the house. And you're thinking, well, I'd like to have been included in that conversation you had with God, you know. And of course, in dating, this is always what happens. I've decided we're breaking up. God and I've talked about it, you know. And so, I mean, how do you disagree with God? You know, you're always using the God thing. But it's and then there's other people that when it comes to their mind, boom, it comes out their mouth. And for people that process, that's frustrating. Ooh, you're talking. What do you mean? That's what you've decided? That's not what you've decided? Well, why are you talking to me about it if you haven't decided that? Oh, you just want to talk through it. I'm not comfortable talking through it. Some of us are processors till we come to a decision. Some of us process by talking. And have you ever been like this? Have you ever been with people? Maybe you're a person like this. In 30 minutes, you've changed your mind three times. Because you've had a great conversation with someone who understands you, and you change your mind. And the other person is going crazy because they're thinking, how did you change your mind? It was three times in 30 minutes. There's a great combination to that. And it's this. I think that you talk, it's great to process verbally. Talk, then pray if you want some time away. Then talk again. Talk, pray, talk. But not, it doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to not talk till you come to what God says to do. And you don't have to just talk about it all the time. But talk and pray and talk about it some more. That's healthy communication. Seventh is this, respond instead of react. Respond deliberately rather than reacting impulsively. Respond instead of react. I remember one time being at a friend's house. We're playing baseball. We broke the window. Scared to death. We finally go in. We tell the moms that are in there that we broke the window. I'm thinking, what? You broke the window? What did you do? The house that we're out, she came out. She said, well, what happened? Well, we were playing ball and somebody hit it and it knocked out the window. Oh, it was an accident? Uh-huh. Well, it was an accident. I thought, this is the coolest mom ever. She's like, we can replace that window. Eighth is this, body language and tone. Ooh, tone. Don't use that tone with me. You know? It's not what you said, it's the way you said it. Have you ever heard that? You ever said that? It's not what you said, it's the way you said it. Our eyes. In communication, we want somebody to have our eyes. We want them to have our body to be turned toward them. We want them to see us, that we're interested. I mean, what does this communicate? You know, it communicates a lot. You're frustrated. You're angry with me. You want to give up on the conversation. You roll your eyes. Sometimes it's late at night. You just kind of close your eyes while they're talking. What does that communicate? Head. Throw our head back. Keeping our body toward the other person. You ever been talking with somebody and they just kind of walk out of the room? You're going. You know, we say this all the time. Hey, I'm listening. I really am listening. We're just going into the other room. We're just going to do something. You know, but just communicating to somebody else. Hey, I really am listening. I'm just kind of walking in here to do something, rather than somebody walks in there and we go, "What? You're not even listening to me." Body language communicates a lot to people. Tone, the way you say things, it's not what you said; it's the way you said it. We're working out kids' schedules. We got several kids, and we're trying to work out who's going to go here and who's going to go there, who's going to go here, and what has to be done. And we're trying to work that out. And really, inside, you're a selfish pig, and you want to lay on the couch all day and watch games. And she's trying to figure out a way that she could take people somewhere, and you could take people somewhere. Inside, you don't want to say, I just want to lay here and watch games all day. So you try to figure out ways to make it to where she would have to take everybody everywhere all day long. That's because you've got things to do, mow the yard and trim the yard, even though you mowed it yesterday. And so you're trying to think out things that you can do. And so you say in the conversation, when we're trying to figure out a schedule about something to do, and you know you've been pinned to the wall because you don't have anything to do, and you say, that's fine. That's fine. All these are hypothetical things that my friends have told me. It's nothing that's ever really happened in my home. That's fine. That's tone. Fine. Or you have a conversation, you really talk about your schedule, and you go, that's fine. That's good. It's good. and then we play the game. Well, what's wrong? I said that's fine. We play the game of what we said and what we didn't say, and we want to leave tone completely out of it. It's about what I said and what I didn't say. It's not about tone. I said that's fine. Yeah, you know. So have you ever been in those kind of relationships, family relationships, conversations, where we start playing the game about it's what I said and what I didn't say? No, so much is communicated in the way that we say it. That's fine. That's good. I think we can do that. Ninth is this. Ask yourself if the current conflict is the real issue. The example that I always use with folks is socks on the floor. She comes in, there's socks on the floor, and all of a sudden, or maybe you come in, and it's your kids, and their socks are on the floor, and we've talked about where the dirty clothes are. We've had that conversation 10 times. But all of a sudden, we just explode about clothes that are on the floor. And the real issue is this. Ask yourself, is the conflict that we're having really about this socks on the floor? Or is it about the 5 conflicts that we didn't deal with over the last 2 weeks? Is it when you spoke to me that way right before you left the house and got in the car and left? Is it that when last night that we had this little discussion and we never did resolve it, but we just decided to put it away? Is the issue today really the socks on the floor? Because we can get into the semantics and we can argue about socks on the floor for 30 minutes. Maybe what we need to do is realize, you know what? The reason I'm angry, let me just be real honest, the reason I'm angry is what's happened over the last 2 weeks. So let's talk about that. Ask yourself, is the conflict that we're having really about what's happening today? And then the last thing is this, healthy communication. Be open to the possibility that you could be completely wrong. Be open to enter into the conversation that, you know what, it's part of that listening part. And this is true with our children. I may completely misinterpret or misunderstand this situation. I may not have all the facts. I may have said something that hurt somebody else. I didn't even intend it to hurt them, but I want to understand what happened. Be open to the possibility that I could be completely wrong in this situation. And I'm going to try to find out all the facts and all the feelings before we talk about that. I want us to look at one last scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Paul says to the church at Galatia, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become what? Conceited. Let us not become what? Provoking and envying each other." Listen, when we talk about family portrait, what does a healthy family look like? Communication is a big part of that. And let me say this. It doesn't just come natural. Healthy communication doesn't just hit you when you get married. Healthy communication, it's not like a birthright. When you become a parent, all of a sudden you become a healthy communicator. It doesn't even just happen when you become a Christian. All of a sudden, my life has changed and I've become a great healthy communicator. You and I are a product of the way that we've grown up, maybe our families. We're a product of our personality. We're a product of our sin nature. And one of the things that we have to do, I'll say this, to make it in relationships, and not only to make it, but to have healthy relationships, is we have to work on it. We have to work on being a healthy communicator. There's a lot of you, I've heard your testimonies, I've given my testimony. You've been married for a long time, and you've hit places where you were almost at rock bottom. And the thing was, you were both healthy, mature believers, and you were working on it all the time, and it still got hard. Don't give up. Don't give up. But keep working on it. Let's pray together.